Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Good morning.
Wake up!
It's the John Osterlin Morning Show.
Good morning.
I'm not a big fan of using public bathrooms. I mean, when you gotta go, you gotta go. And I'm not a huge fan of it. But I was just reading this page where people, there are a bunch of hilarious tweets that sum up the hell that is using your office bathroom.
Okay.
And we're up here, we've got 6 radio stations in this on this floor in this building here. And when we go to the bathroom, it's a lot of times our people from the other radio stations in the stall next to us.
And they shall we say, they continue to do their radio shows.
Some of them
while they're doing their business. And it's just as creepy as I'm making it sound. Just think about that. Just have someone next to you while you're doing your business and they're doing theirs, and they continue doing material.
But when you're in a public bathroom, when you're in a stall, whether it's at your office or just anywhere, mm-hmm. when there's someone in the stall next to you, doesn't that make you feel a little bit, I can't be myself?
Absolutely.
Because I know what I'm about to do is probably going to make some noise. And,
right.
And
I don't want to be remembered in the office for having made that noise.
No.
I don't know if you think about this, but I always think about, will I be recognized by my shoes? And I wear like a different pair of shoes every day, but... I love these New Balance sneakers that I'm wearing, but I have them in like 10 different colors. So if I'm wearing the same shoe with what you refer to as my square foot, which would mean that my foot is as wide as it is long, and that's not quite true. It's close.
Close.
But that's the kind of thing I think about. You know, you don't want to be that, I used to work in an office in a completely different, it was an accounting office in a hotel. And it was, we had one corner to ourselves. We had one set of men's and women's restrooms to ourselves. And there was one guy who worked in the cubicle of 3 other people in which I worked. And he never washed his hands when he came out of there.
Yuck.
And he did both, you know, he did his onesies and his twosies. And he never washed his hands, well, and it's the most disgusting thing ever.
Well, just sitting in there, you got to play the waiting game sometimes. It's like you're waiting for this person to go and get done with it so then I can be myself and I can go the way I normally go.
It's a variation on what Freud referred to as, Freud referred to it as one thing. Mel Brooks referred to it in the movie High Anxiety as PPNV.
Well, it is an anxious time. And then we got the one guy that stands in front of the urinal and the sound effect. Like,
I'm not sure.
But anyways, I'm not the only one because I've got a few tweets here that sum up the hell that is using the bathroom at work or any public bathroom. This one woman, Maggie, tweeted, and I'm quoting her here.
Dear Casey. No, it's a different thing.
I'm in a cold war with some stranger in my office bathroom over who can sit the longest in a stall waiting for the other person to leave so they can finally bleep. You know, go to the bathroom.
Right.
I loathe her, but damn it, I respect her. So, these mind games are going on while you're sitting in the stall.
Sure.
And this is supposed to be a break from work. And then there are a few other tweets.
Well, not like a coffee break. I mean, it's a necessity. I don't know if it's like a break.
And then there are a few other tweets here.
In other words, if I had a choice of where to go for my break, I wouldn't be in there.
One guy named Matt tweeted, wow, the office bathroom smells like that person needs to be fired immediately.
See, that's the joke I will frequently say when there's someone different in there, because I don't want to keep using the same joke over and over. It's feel free to share this. You come out and you say, boy, it smells like bleep in here. We should alert someone.
Yeah.
That's a little outhouse humor.
Just one guy tweeted, nothing like a warm toilet seat in the office bathroom to remind us all that you are no different than the person that sat there before you.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to let you do a couple more of these. And then I'm going to tell you what is the difference, the group of people for whom this does not apply, but go ahead.
One guy named Wheelchair Jerry tweeted, open the door to the office bathroom. There's a guy at the urinal, and he turns around to look at me when I walk in. That's not how men's bathroom etiquette works at all, pal.
Yeah, it's not.
And then there are a few more. Somebody's commenting on who are these people that brush their teeth in the office bathroom. There's a difference between us and the deranged.
But see, I applaud that, especially people who have face-to-face contact often throughout the day. We used to have a former coworker who would brush his teeth frequently throughout the day. But where do you go? I mean, you wouldn't want to go see that person in our kitchen. No. Brushing his teeth in that sink, that would be kind of creepy.
And then the last one, somebody tweeted that he heard someone brushing their teeth while they were sitting in a stall.
Oh.
Now that is nasty with a capital N.
Oh. Here's the difference, and this does not apply to either you or me, but you know the group of people for whom they're listening to this and they're thinking this, well, you people just have no idea what you're talking about. People who have been in the military, because they will get this out of your system in the military in about the first 3 days. If you've got a problem with going in front of people, well, get used to it. I don't even have I don't think they have stalls, do they?
No, they just go, and that's one of them.
Or the stalls don't have doors.
That's one of the many, many, many things, just one of them, that I respect about our military.
Right, right. And in a strange way, it makes for some common camaraderie where, hey, you're no different. You put your pants on one leg at a time just like I do. You do this, and we all see each other's whatever, and that's part of the bonding. And again, I didn't serve, but it's part of the bonding of men and women in the military.
But in the office bathroom, sitting in the stall, waiting for the person next to you to go so that they can get out of there so you can be yourself in all your glory. That is traumatizing.
And they're brushing their teeth. I've never heard that one. Yeah.
Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford.
Well, this would be a great way to start this morning or any morning, and that would be a chance for you and a friend to go to Boston to see the Stones. It is a great package. Meet the Rolling Stones in Boston. Round trip airfare for two nights hotel accommodation, two VIP tickets to see the Stones at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, also known as the house that Brady built. Tom Brady. Meet and greet with the band on June 8th of next year. Backstage VIP tour, ground transportation, tour swag, and much more. Register now at Santa's Sack. Santa's overflowing big red prize-filled sack at Bayou957.com.
That's very cool. You know what would be a little bit cooler?
What's that?
You know, because I lived and worked in Boston for 17 years.
Uh-huh.
If
we could come up with a way for maybe you to go also.
Yeah, go with us.
And go
me or you or me and you. Go with us.
I'm not going. Go with you.
Yeah, I'll show you the good restaurants to eat at.
There you go.
Places to hang out
at. Some of the gutters that you've been face down in.
Yeah, go over my friend Sully's house in South Boston. And
Sully!
Southeast. Yeah.
We will work on that.
That'd be cool.
If it works out, it'll be my idea.
Go to our website. Good luck. On Fridays, we do a segment on this show, and it's called The Dumbest Thing I Read All Week. And we do it Friday mornings around 8:35. And I've got something here that isn't only the dumbest thing that I read all week. This is the dumbest thing that I read all year. And I wish I could wait until Friday to tell you. But the story...
Too many people are going to see it between now and then.
It just happened.
Yeah, right. It's local.
I have never seen this before in my life. And, you know, I've been doing a radio show most of my life, most of my adult life.
Some days from the gutter.
And, you know, some of the things we do on that segment on Friday, they're so stupid that after we finish talking about them, I feel dumber as a human being for what I just said. This tops anything we've ever done.
Well, wait a second here.
On the dumbest thing I read all week. This might be the dumbest thing I've read in my life. And that's saying something for, you know, doing a radio show for much of my adult life. And we go through a lot of stuff to try to put together the most entertaining show we possibly can.
That whole waiting thing, that's a relevant point, because sometimes I will have, we have runners up, and I will have a runner up or two, and sometimes they'll, before Friday, everyone has seen it, and so it's no longer, the moment is gone. The thrill is gone.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
You know, it sounds like an easy bit, but it's really, you know, it's a challenge sometimes, and this is one of those times when the dumbest thing I read all week is a challenge. This is literally, I think this might be the dumbest thing I've ever read in my life.
Okay.
And that's saying something.
I remember I was here when you said that just 2 minutes ago. You know, we used to do in a previous iteration of this show. I'm making as much suspense before this as I possibly can before we get to the timpani sound effect and the big buildup.
Man arrest.
Wait. I wasn't ready yet.
Oh,
that was a dramatic pause. We used to do, I say, on a previous iteration of this program, the dumbest thing you read all day. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
That's tough because some things you don't read. Some days you wouldn't find something that dumb that really qualified. All right, I'm done. Go ahead. Here.
All right. Man arrested for breaking into New Orleans jail. You heard that right. He broke into the New Orleans jail.
No, wait, I'm sorry. He broke into the jail.
Yeah.
To get into the jail.
Now, this is
is dumb.
This is the all-new and hopefully improved Orleans Parish Prison 2.0, the new facility that's right there.
OPP squared.
This kind of reminded me of something that happened at the old, scarier Orleans Parish Prison when inmates would temporarily leave the jail through a door that was open, and they'd hit Bourbon Street, they'd hit the French Quarter, they'd go to strip clubs, they'd go to bars, and then they would actually, at the end of the night, they would go back into the old jail through the open door that they got out of. You would think they would just take off, but no, they had a good time, and then they said, "I want my cot back." And,
exactly. Everybody's got a stopping point. I mean, you know, when you've had enough and you need some solid sack time for the night.
But this even is even dumber than that. I've never seen a man get arrested for breaking into jail. A man now is behind bars after he and or one of his two accomplices climbed over the outer wall of the Orleans Parish jail to deliver drugs. He had a backpack, and his backpack had a bunch of heroin in it, smack, junk, dirt, garbage, Shanghai Sally. Yam yam, just one taste. He also had crack cocaine in it, and he had marijuana in it.
It's like a drug smorgasbord.
Well, he was obviously a jailed drug dealer who didn't go through deputies. Because usually when the drugs and the contraband and everything are found in Orleans Parish prison, it's usually one of the deputies who helps get it in, because they don't make that much money, and so
allegedly.
Well, this is the surprising part, that this guy did this on his own. And I saw the wall he tried to scale. You have to be in good athletic condition and shape to scale that wall, especially with a backpack full of dope holding you down. 23-year-old Nicholas Celius, maybe the dumbest human being whose name ever came out of my mouth. That is saying something. He was booked yesterday morning on drug-related and resisting police charges. This happened late Monday night into early yesterday morning. His failed plan to drop off drugs by scaling the wall at the Orleans Parish Prison 2.0. He was with two other unnamed men who authorities say were also involved, but they're still at large. This was the only one who got caught. This happened late Monday night. Staff at the Orleans Parish Prison 2.0. They're working there. They've got live security cameras around the jail because it's a jail. And usually the security cameras are looking for people who are trying to go the other way, get out. But these guys thought the deputies that were working there, the prison staff that was working there, they thought something was wrong with their camera. They thought maybe somebody hit a switch, the backward switch or something, and they were banging on their camera. Hey, come here. This guy's climbing over the fence to try to get into prison. Have you ever seen anything like this? And they were making jokes about it over there. The man climbed over the wall. I may go there today after the show to that wall and make a video. This wall was something. When I saw the size of this wall, I said, out of all the ways to break into prison, this is the way you're going? And so when the Orleans Parish Prison 2.0 deputies, what do they call it now? The Orleans Justice Center? The man fled with at least two accomplices who were waiting nearby. But the man who entered and then left the jail grounds by climbing the wall left behind several packages containing narcotics and other contraband. The packages were intended to be introduced into the facility through a recreation yard. You know, if you're inside and the rumors are going around, hey, we're getting some smack. Some H. You know, we're getting some crack, some C. And somebody's bringing some weed too. Yeah, that must be exciting, you know, if you're in jail, you're living in a cage, you can't get anything. So when the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office, they're the ones who are in charge of guarding the New Orleans jail, the Orleans Parish Prison 2.0. The New Orleans police don't guard it. New Orleans Police Department, it's the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office who guards it.
Sounds like no one's guarding it.
Well, they called the NOPD and they said, you're not going to believe this. I got a call that someone is breaking into jail with a large backpack. Over. Well, the NOPD, the New Orleans police officers, got there quickly and grabbed one of them, 23-year-old Nicholas Celius. Here's how dumb this guy is. Not only was he caught trying to break into prison with a backpack full of drugs, to be the prison hero. When the cops ran his information, he has a warrant, at least one of them, out for his arrest in the state of Texas. Maybe he didn't want to go back to Texas. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe he's thinking, if I'm going to get locked up somewhere, I'd rather get locked up in the Orleans Parish prison, because I've seen videos on YouTube of guys drinking beer in here, of guys having drugs in here, of guys playing cards in here. Remember the YouTube videos that came out of this place? I've seen videos of not only inmates drinking beer, but they had ice, cold beer. And, you know, there's many months in New Orleans where it's very hot, and the people that aren't in jail that are on the street sometimes, they're not drinking the coldest beer. But these guys, they had as cold a beer as you could get, and they're gambling. They had stacks of cash, stacks of money. Remember that video on YouTube? It went viral. Hey, well, let's see what's going on at the Orleans Parish Prison. I mean, it looked like a really good time. if you're into playing cards, doing drugs, drinking beer, and holding guns. So maybe the Texas justice system is a little bit tougher than the New Orleans justice system. Well, this guy now finds himself living in a cell that he tried to break into.
That's Nicholas Celius.
Yes.
Known now forevermore as Santa Claus.
You know, if I go over there after the show to try to show you the wall that he climbed over, I mean, the guy's in great shape. I don't think we're allowed to interview anybody, but maybe if I talk to the Orleans Parish Sheriff's deputies and say, look, just give me 5 minutes, and I can do it all on my cell phone. Just let me ask him a couple of questions. I think it would be good for everyone in this situation. I'll try.
And they're going to say, who are you?
Well, give it a shot. So there you go. Dumbest thing I've seen, read. Not just this year. This has to be the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. And if you could think of something dumber, please let me know. And that includes you too, Booster.
It's the holiday edition.
Hey, coming up on the show, a woman recently came out and said that years ago, actor Michael Douglas whipped it out in front of her and started touching it. His wife, who's 26 years younger than him, just did an interview saying, although she's devastated, they have an open marriage. Could you imagine marrying a woman who looks like that, who's 26 years younger than you, and she still says it's okay to have an open marriage? That's incredible.
Can I just finish my breakfast before we get to that story?
Stay tuned. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Michelle Obama has a new book out, the former first lady. She's making the rounds on the shows, promoting the book. It's selling pretty well, actually. One of the things she said in the book is that her marriage with Barack Obama while they were president wasn't perfect. As a matter of fact, there were a few nights where she slept in a guest bedroom in the White House. That room is called Hillary's room. She slept a little while her husband was president for many nights. All right, coming up on the show, one of O.J. Simpson's ex-managers said he didn't act alone when he killed his estranged wife and her friend. Stay tuned for that coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So a couple of weeks ago, a story that made some headlines said that actor Michael Douglas whipped it out and began doing what guys do when they whip it out. And I'm not talking about going to the bathroom. And he did this in front of an actress like 25 years ago. 25, 30 years ago, whatever the case may be. I guess she's now speaking up because of the hashtag MeToo movement. Michael Douglas denies it. She also said that some of the things she overheard him saying when he was talking with other people on the set, around the set, was pretty rough. Now, Michael Douglas said, look, I'll admit that, you know, when I'm talking to coworkers or I'm talking to friends, sometimes the language could
gets a little blue, a little salty.
He said that, but he said that's a long way away from sexual harassment. That's what he says. You know, there are a lot of people questioning if the hashtag MeToo movement is still a thing. Because there have been guys who have been brought up on charges, but then they have been, once an investigation happened, they have been allowed to return to work. They said, wait a minute, we can't prove anything here. Well, Michael Douglas, he's in his mid-70s now. He's 74 years old. And he's got a wife who's 25 years younger than him, Catherine Zeta-Jones, the actress. She just went, I think yesterday, she went on the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and a former New Orleanian Hoda Kotb. And she was asked about this. And she said, yeah, I'm devastated about this. But we have a, and I'm quoting here, a very open relationship, unquote. Now, she didn't get into many more details. And she said that.
Hey, that's all I need to know.
Well, I'm wondering if where she's from. What country is she from?
She's born in the UK. Is she considered Welsh?
I just wonder if a very open relationship means what some of us here in America think it means. Because she says, quote, first of all, I'm so happy that we've made it 20 years together. Optimism. And then she, you know, she says what a lot of married people say. It's not easy, you know. It's sometimes are tough. She says, but, quote, both Michael and I have a very open relationship. When you have kids that didn't ask to be born into a world where it is scrutinized or looked into, you've got to be open and honest and share things that probably people at the drugstore wouldn't share over the counter.
That doesn't sound like what I thought it was.
I think what she's saying and what she told Savannah and Hoda on the Today Show, I think she's saying we have a very open relationship. We talk about everything.
It's very transparent.
Because could you imagine looking like Catherine Zeta-Jones, having a husband who was 25 years older than you, and letting him do sex with other women? Could you imagine that?
Hey, it's Hollywood.
But you never know. That's what she said yesterday on the Today Show.
So you're suggesting that it's a matter of wordplay, or just how, you know, she says open. We have an open marriage, open relationship, or however she said it. And so you're thinking what the, that's the common term for what we thought she was describing.
Exactly.
And I think she intended to say we have a transparent, open, but not open. Like open, but not open.
Again, she's an immigrant, like many.
Right.
And maybe wherever she's from, something got lost in translation.
From Wales.
Isn't that where she's from?
Yeah.
She says that her family, quote, shares everything around the table. Quote,
well,
I'm a big European kind of family girl. And so everything is shared around the table.
Do you see now why I don't watch the Today Show? It's like this every day.
And so I think you clear the air and everyone knows what's going on. It's no big surprises. So with Catherine Zeta-Jones saying that her and Michael Douglas have a very open relationship, they both do. And then you heard her describe that they share everything around the table and talk about everything. I don't think a very open relationship, the way she said it, is the way that many Americans would look at that.
Certainly not if you were to read that sentence, which is virtually what we're doing here, because I didn't see the Today Show yesterday. I'm guessing you didn't see the Today Show yesterday.
No, I was with you.
Yeah. I think we beat them yesterday, though. That's. I wonder if she'll go on today and clarify. We don't get that channel in here, do we?
Yeah, we get it.
We do?
It was just coming in fuzzy the other day, but yeah, we get it.
We could have been watching her this time yesterday.
I mean, who in New Orleans doesn't like Hoda Kotb? She was just in town a couple of weeks ago, and she's taking pictures with everybody. Everybody loves Hoda Kotb.
She's a treasure.
And that's Savannah Guthrie. She's a looker.
I like Savannah.
Yes. One of the few women named Savannah who overcame that first name and became a professional woman and didn't end up as a stripper.
Well, not yet.
So I'm still trying to figure out what's going on over here, but I hope those kids, I hope it works out well with Mike. I've always liked Michael Douglas. He's good in his movies, and I've always liked him. His father's really cool. He's still alive. And...
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah, Kirk is still alive.
I never can tell.
Yeah. Spartacus.
Spartacus.
All right, coming up.
He's Spartacus, you know.
Coming up on the show. A guy who was close with O.J. Simpson, one of his managers, after he got out of jail, too, he's saying that O.J. didn't act alone in the double murder. We'll explain on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Things have gotten really bad in the country of Venezuela. They have gone full socialism, and around 80% of their people don't have enough food. Socialism is failing in Venezuela. It's horrible. Hyperinflation has led to chicken costing $350 or $450 if you want organic chicken. Coming up next, we will look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. We hope you'll stay tuned for that report. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. It's time to look at today in history. And on this radio show, we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
November 28th. It was today in 1994. Jeffrey Dahmer.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Jeffrey Dahmer was murdered in prison. He was serving 15 consecutive life sentences for the brutal murders and eating of 15 men. And then some guy in prison ended up getting him. I think it was a broom handle, and I don't want to get into more details, but...
Yeah, that's probably enough.
You know, if you know anything, if you've read anything about the Jeffrey Dahmer story, something that always fascinated me, what if you lived in that, like, right next door to him or in the apartment? Where would you move after you found out that not only he killed all of those young men in that place, but then he ate them?
I thought you were going to say, would you not know what was going on? And eventually some of the smells that would come out of there without getting too overly graphic. And I think we probably already have. But after the fact, you're saying after they carry out all the boxes and the evidence and all that, would I move?
Yeah, would you stay in, like, if you lived next door to him or if there was another apartment in where he was living, would you stay there knowing what had gone on?
No.
Oh.
No.
Jesus. I think I'm...
Pretty creepy.
I think... I'm almost 100% sure. I think they tore down that place where he lived because... I mean, if you're a real estate agent, you got to tell people what bad things have happened in that on property if someone's going to buy it.
Full disclosure.
Yeah.
Look, there was a slight crack in this bathroom. It's been patched. There had been some seepage there, so it's been treated with kills and everything in the ceiling adjacent. And Jeffrey Dahmer lived here. Yeah, I think just tear it down.
November 28th. It was today. Hey, William Shakespeare got married today, way back in 1582.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
William Shakespeare married Anne Hathaway. I got to be honest with you. I just saw an interview with the actress Anne Hathaway recently. For someone who got married in 1582, she's hot.
That's right. For somebody who's 600 years old.
She looks fantastic. Today, November 28th. The Grand Ole Opry began broadcasting today, way back in 1925.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Have you ever been there in Nashville, Tennessee? You talk about a historic place.
I have not been there. I've been many times to Nashville, but not to Music Row.
Oh, wow.
I know. I know. Very odd. Nashville is more or less a pass-through city for me. I really have not, with the exception of a couple of restaurants, a couple of barbecue joints, I have not really spent a lot of time there.
November 28th.
I should do.
Oh, boy. I remember this when I was a kid. Today in 1987.
Why today doesn't suck.
The media controversy started over the case of Tawana Brawley up there in New York City. And in this case, made Al Sharpton nationally known. As the Reverend said, that Tawana Brawley, she was found in a garbage bag. And she had garbage all over her. I think a lot of dirty stuff all over her. And they said that a white guy or white guys did this to her.
Right.
And come to find out, I think Al Sharpton himself was the one that bought the garbage bags. And I think Al Sharpton is the one that went to the bathroom to throw it in there. And Al Sharpton still has a career after all of that.
Right.
Which is incredible.
It's hard to believe.
Tonight is the measure of whether the country begins in the state of Wisconsin a national drive to push back, or whether we have more to go to build a movement of resistance. Hmm. But resist we must and we will much about that be committed.
Well, that's clear.
Al Sharpton went on after. He put the young black girl with fecal matter and all kinds of other crap all over her. He went on to become an NBC newsman with MSNBC.
Well, let's back up and say not newsman. He had his own show.
But when you heard things like we just played,
right.
And that used to happen almost on a daily basis.
Sure.
Whether he put a young black girl in a garbage bag and covered her with fecal matter or not, take the Tawana Brawley situation out of it. The guy should have never gotten a job.
Right. How much does he still owe in taxes to the state of New York?
You and I would be in prison if we owed as much money in taxes to the government as Al Sharpton did. But no, he got a job with NBC News.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Hey, got a celebrity birthday for you.
All right.
Happy birthday.
Ow!
A funny guy who half the country doesn't like because of his politics. But today is Jon Stewart's birthday.
Okay.
Jon Stewart, he became...
Not born Jon Stewart, but...
Well, he became known for the show that he did on the comedy...
channel.
Channel, the Daily Show.
The Daily Show.
A lot of people, he was so good at it, some people didn't realize if it was actual news he was reading or he was doing a comedic routine.
Right.
I wonder what he's been doing the last couple of years. He wants to make some bigger things. And
well, he made the documentary of his friend who disappeared under the strange circumstances in either Iraq or Iran. I believe Iran. He's got some large aspirations, as do most creative, talented people once they have done the extent of what they're known for, in other words. And he's got a ton of money.
He's got the
money.
He doesn't have to do anything.
Exactly. But they do things with a higher purpose, at least in their minds. And another example would be somebody who is another far lefty hero of mine for different reasons, but David Letterman. Now that he's done everything that he can do in network television, he's doing that very entertaining one-hour show on Netflix with, I think, 6 episodes, and I hope they make more. I hope that they can do another season of those. Today is November 28th. It is Happy National French Toast Day. You're a big French toast fan.
Love French toast, and I feel intercontinental when I eat French toast.
Oui, oui. Also, November 28th, it was on this day, and I'd like to find audio of this. It was on this date in 1991.
Why today doesn't suck.
To protest lip syncing in general, On that show, Nirvana's appearance on Top of the Pops in the UK featured Kurt Cobain singing in a low-pitched voice in protest of their request for Nirvana to perform Teen Smells Like Teen Spirit in a lip-synced fashion, because no one likes lip-syncing. It was on this date in November 29th, 1979.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Ringo Starr's home in Los Angeles, which he was renting from singer Harry Nilsson. Sadly, it caught fire. Nobody was injured, but many of Beatle Ringo's Beatle memorabilia was lost, sadly. Here's Ringo with a comment.
Peace and love, peace and love. I'm warning you, with peace and love, I have too much to do. So no more fan mail. Thank you, thank you. And no objects to be signed. Nothing. Anyway, peace and love, peace and love. Peace and love.
Two more birthdays, born on this date in 1962.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
What a great drummer, not for one band, but for two. Matt Cameron of both Soundgarden and Pearl Jam. And celebrating a birthday, born on this date in 1943.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Many New Orleans connections, lived here as a small child, wrote the great song Louisiana 1927, They're Trying to Wash Us Away. Happy birthday to Randy Newman.
You brought up Harry Nilsson with the Ringo Starr story.
Yes.
It was today in 1974.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
John Lennon is reunited with his wife, Yoko Ono, after his year-long bender on booze and drugs. Much of that year spent with Harry Nilsson in Los Angeles. I mean, he got thrown out of the Troubadour and other bars out there in Hollywood, and it was a crazy story.
The Whiskey a Go-Go, they got thrown out of every bar up and down Hollywood Boulevard.
Absolutely. And I got one more over here.
All right, and finally.
It was today in 2006.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Actress Pamela Anderson filed for divorce from rapper Kid Rock. When I saw that, I'm like, that's right, they were married for 5 minutes. I guess Kid Rock, you know, he did what he wanted to do, and I think that was probably, you know.
Well, you see her name in certain things, it brings back a flood of memories. You see Pamela Anderson, oh, that's right, married to Kid Rock. Pamela Anderson, oh, Baywatch. Pamela Anderson, Hep C. Memories come flooding back.
Mm.
And that is a segment that we call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All right, coming up on the show, we have an update on a story we talked about yesterday about the very, as a matter of fact, stunningly attractive wedding photographer in Texas. More pictures of her just came out. We talked about her yesterday because she got in trouble. She mixed her prescription drugs with alcohol. She ended up doing sex at a wedding she was supposed to be taking photographs at, and then she urinated in the hallway in front of everybody. I just saw, Brewster, some more pictures of this woman. Stunningly beautiful! Why can't she take pictures of my wedding? Stay tuned for that coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Yesterday on the show, we told you about a lawsuit in St. Tammany Parish regarding panhandling. It's kind of illegal up there, and the bums and the panhandlers say, look, it's under our constitutional right, the First Amendment, freedom of speech. We can ask people for money.
Well, we're smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, well, so in St. Tammany Parish, panhandling laws are being challenged in court. The panhandler who filed the lawsuit said, give me liberty or give me a dollar. And panhandlers are demanding their constitutional rights.
Wait, there's more?
And spare change. All right, coming up next, we have an update from something we talked about also on the show yesterday. A gorgeous female wedding photographer who got arrested for mixing alcohol with her prescription drugs. She ended up sleeping with one of the wedding guests and then going to the bathroom in the hallway. We've got more on this coming up. She is a looker. Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. Yesterday on the show, we told you the story. And by the way, before we told you this story, I had mentioned that every time we do a story like this, It's usually some guy who gets arrested. For instance, somebody gets arrested for getting naked in public, whipping out their privates in public. It's usually some guy. It's never a really attractive woman who someone said, "Hey, did you see this woman just whipped them out and got naked in public?" When you see stories of peeping Toms, people, sick people that are walking around neighborhoods looking into windows trying to see people, they're always guys. It's always a guy. And I always said to myself, you're telling me there's not one attractive woman who's a peeping Tom, maybe a peeping Tina. There's not one attractive woman that walks around strange neighborhoods and looks into strangers' windows. Really, they're all guys, and usually they're sloppy looking and they're messy.
I could have loaded this up from yesterday. We could have gone to breakfast.
Well, then we told you the story.
Yes.
About a wedding that just happened over the last weekend in the state of Texas, where the wedding photographer got arrested for doing sex with one of the wedding guests and then urinating on a tree that was inside the lobby of the wedding place.
And that is what she did.
Yes, it wasn't a sloppy-looking male wedding photographer. As a matter of fact...
Wait, you looked right at me when you said that.
As a matter of fact, it was a stunningly beautiful model who also does wedding photography on the side. And I've always said this. Now, I knew she was pretty when I saw her mugshot, because she still looked good in her mugshot, and mugshots are not the best pictures that people pose for. Well, once this story went viral, her modeling pictures have been released. Brewster, I'm looking at a picture of her right now. She is in a bikini on a beach. She could be a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. That's how stunningly beautiful Catherine Lee Mehta is.
But is she peeing? That's the question everyone wants to know.
And her last name, Mehta, is spelled M-E-H-T-A. Because whenever we do a story like this, Brewster then goes on Facebook, and then he has me become Facebook friends with whoever we're talking about. And I always appreciate when you do that, Brewster, yeah. Because then now I can go look at all of her private pictures, or at least her pictures that she puts on Facebook. This was some story. And the problem was she took a prescription drug, and what she did was she mistakenly mixed alcohol with it. You said what the drug was yesterday.
Xanax.
And she shouldn't have been drinking alcohol while she was taking Xanax. Evidently, if you mix...
Well, I don't agree, but...
if you mix Xanax with alcohol, you just start doing sex with strangers at some wedding you've been hired to take pictures at. And then...
Well, now, wait a minute. Maybe I need to adjust my dose then.
And then also, if you mix that drug with alcohol, you end up going to the bathroom on trees inside wedding receptions.
I've not done that.
I saw an interview on a news show last night with her sister. Her sister's great looking. I mean, these are Texas beauties. And her sister said, look, she's a model. She shouldn't have mixed the alcohol with the drugs, because this is what happens when you do.
Right.
And
well, if you're lucky.
Yeah. I'd like to see her ditch the wedding photography job, and I want to see her go back to being a model full-time, because she is that attractive. She's that good-looking. I couldn't imagine being a guest at this wedding in Texas over the weekend when a woman who looks like this is taking pictures. Really? You're behind the camera and you look like that? And now that you've mixed the alcohol with the drugs, the prescription drugs you're taking, you're running around wanting to do sex with people and you're wanting to urinate inside on trees?
It's like a party at your house.
I wish. Now, she hasn't spoken since. And by the way, her model name is Max McIntyre.
What?
Yeah.
What?
You could Google Max McIntyre. That's her.
I don't want to.
I know that Max, it's a male name, but there is nothing male about her.
Hmm.
She's incredible looking. And maybe this will help her, you know, get rid of that part-time job on the side taking pictures at people's weddings, where she can get back in her bikini, get back in front of a body of water, because the pictures I'm looking at, that's where she should be making most of her money. Have you seen the bikini picture?
I have not.
I will.
I have not seen any. Yes, please send them to me. Yes,
I will. I will definitely send them. As a matter of fact, I'm going to
don't have enough junk in my various boxes over here as it is.
I'm going to put these on the Bayou Facebook page.
Yes.
Well, as soon as we're done talking here, yes. I'm going to go and be a part of our radio station on Facebook, and then you could see this, and then you could see everything else we put up there, day and night.
Oh, around the clock.
Yes.
If you're not drinking out of a bong, you're doing it wrong.
So look, I don't want people to. Have problems when it comes to their prescription drugs, mixing them with alcohol, and then ending up in strangers' beds and urinating inside at a wedding on a tree.
Where you could mind your own business.
But hopefully Catherine Lee Mehta, or her modeling name, Max McIntyre, hopefully she can get these this issue dealt with, and she can get back to her modeling job, get back in her bikini.
We should try to get her on the show.
That's something. She was arrested for doing sex with the guest and urinating on the tree inside the wedding hall. I didn't know you could get arrested for doing sex with a wedding guest. I mean, she didn't. It wasn't forcible. This isn't a hashtag Me Too movement. This was a stunningly beautiful model who grabbed the luckiest guy that went to this wedding and ends up in a room. How does she get arrested for that?
Maybe we should get her on the show.
I want to get a legal expert on the show.
I wasn't about that.
Look, but I understand being arrested for urinating on the tree inside the wedding hall. I guess in Texas, they do things a little bit different. They have trees indoors. Maybe it was a Christmas tree, an early Christmas tree somebody put up there. I don't know.
You don't get out much, do you?
Well, looking at these pictures of her on the beach, Brewster, in her bikini, I'm just trying to picture her urinating on a tree.
Oh.
I'm trying to see how would she go about doing that. But how do you... I can understand getting arrested for that. But how do you get arrested for doing sex with a wedding guest at a wedding? We learn something new every day on this radio show.
I've learned more about you in the last 5 minutes than I ever wanted to.
All right, we're going to step aside. This is going up on the Bayou Facebook page, her bikini pictures. And coming up, one of O.J. Simpson's ex-managers, he's got a documentary coming out on television all about O.J.
Yes.
And he says that O.J. did not act alone when O.J. murdered his estranged wife and her friend. There was someone else there, and there's a lot of other people that believe there was someone else there, and they will tell you who they think it was.
We will have your OJ update
on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So I've always found dwarves and midgets and little people in general interesting. I always have, ever since I was young. And I've told the story here on the show. When I was on the radio years ago in Boston, I said there should be a television show featuring a family of dwarves. I tried pitching it. People told me that I was just being...
they called you...
I was exploiting the situation. And
they called you short-sighted.
Yes, they did. And then come to find out, look, now, all these years later, look how many shows are on TLC when they, you know, Seven Little Johnstons, The Little Family, The Little SOBs, whatever it is.
Right.
And I missed my calling.
It is the SOBs.
I should have gotten rich off of that because I was saying they should be doing that. I was saying in the mid-90s.
Have you considered litigation, perhaps?
Well, I don't want to look like a sore loser, but people took my idea and they ran with it, and I just wasn't as connected,
right,
as those other people were, and I'm still very frustrated by it, to be honest with you, how a lot of people got rich, millionaires they became, off of little people. The reason I brought this up is because I just saw online, do you know who the world's most beautiful dwarf is? And that's what she's been dubbed.
No.
The world's most beautiful dwarf. Her name is Karina Lemos, L-E-M-O-S, Karina, and she is stunningly beautiful. I mean, she is just like that Texas wedding photographer who got arrested at the wedding.
For peeing.
Mm. And doing sex with a wedding guest. Here's what I'm curious about when it comes to the world's most beautiful dwarf. Or as her nickname is, the WMBD.
Mm-hmm.
She stands 4 feet, 3 inches. I know some dwarves and some midgets, and I know we're not supposed to use that word. I've heard that's the M word. But they are two different people. A dwarf is different than a midget. Different. One of them has the same size torso as you and me, and just little arms and legs, and the other is small all over. But this world's most beautiful dwarf, Karina Lemos, mm-hmm. she's 4 foot, 3 inches tall. Some are saying you're stretching the definition of a dwarf there. Because some people don't think dwarves should be over 4 feet tall. So, Brewster, look at these pictures.
No.
Oh.
No.
So what? I'm in love with a dwarf.
I'm glad that you're being the bigger person in this situation.
All right, coming up next, I promise, we're getting to the story about how O.J. Simpson's, one of his ex-managers, says he didn't act alone. Stay tuned for that on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So, there's a new television special that's going to be coming on soon about O.J. Simpson. And back in the news. And I gotta be honest with you.
Is he still searching for the real killers on the golf course?
I think he's still doing some of that. I gotta be honest. I'm pretty disappointed ever since O.J. Simpson got released from prison the last time that we haven't seen more of OJ.
Well, you suggested on the show
prior
to his release that he should have an OJ reality show that literally just follows him around doing just mundane, ordinary OJ things.
I figured everywhere he'd be seen in public, people, because everybody now has a camera and a video recorder in their hand. I figured anytime that guy was out in public, that people would just be taking his picture. They would be videoing
him. They'd be selfies.
Talking to him.
Hey, Juice! Hey, right on, Juice!
And we've only seen a little bit of that. We haven't seen a lot of it. I thought we'd be seeing a lot more. I'll just give you a couple of quick examples. Mm-hmm. Stories that have come out about O.J. since he's been released from prison. We talked about this one. O.J. Simpson warns Bill Cosby to watch his back in prison. So when he was pumping gas and somebody walked up to him and said, hey, what do you tell Bill Cosby? And he basically said, look out! When it comes to prison. Another story, O.J. Simpson spotted on a Costco run. You know, wouldn't it be cool to see what he bought? Could you imagine if O.J., wherever he's living with a friend in a gated community in suburban Las Vegas. What did he buy at Costco? Could you imagine if they were out of, like, steak knives? And the guy he's living with said, hey, O.J., can you run to Costco? We're having steak tonight. We're out of knives. Could you imagine O.J. Simpson buying knives at Costco?
They sell Cutco knives at Costco.
O.J. Simpson got $20,000 for the Sacha Baron Cohen interview that he did. We talked about that on the show, too.
Right.
When Sacha Baron Cohen dressed up as a different character and O.J. didn't know who it was. And kept asking him, so what was it like when you killed her? And O.J. kept saying stop, but he got the $20,000 for that.
Right.
And well, then I think that Sasha, whatever, is a total moron. He dumped a pile of crap, and nobody knows what it is, even.
And then there was the story about how O.J. was seen looking for companionship at the infamous Bunny Ranch in Nevada.
Missed that one.
When he got out. Yeah, you know, I need love, too. So he's just... But those stories, I thought, should. And what about all of these women who see him out and they go up to him and they get their selfies taken with him? Who are these people? And I got to be honest with you, if you bumped into O.J. Simpson on the street, would you want to get your picture taken with him? What does that say about you? About a guy who literally nearly decapitated his wife with a knife and her poor friend, the waiter at the restaurant that showed up, Ron Goldman, to return the glasses that she left at the restaurant.
And this is not even after 20 plus years. I mean, think about the white Bronco and the signs the day the verdict came in. Hey, you know, oh, free OJ, and I mean, he. There are some people who are just not going to believe he did it, or just not care because he's OJ.
Well, the reason why women walk up to him when they see him and get their selfies taken with him, because those women who do that wouldn't do that if OJ murdered one of their friends or one of their family members. They wouldn't walk up to him and say, "Hey, OJ, let me take a selfie."
Well, you would think not.
And the reason—I
mean, he's always been a very handsome, charming man.
But the reason why, look, I'm talking about him right now, and why he's still an issue, is because he was the most famous American to ever murder, or at least be charged with murdering two people. There was no one as famous, no one as popular and beloved, who was ever charged with a double murder than O.J. Simpson. That's why anything he does is still news. You know, last year ESPN released as part of their 30 for 30 series, which is fantastic.
Right.
It was like a 5 or 6 night special that got the highest ratings ESPN ever got. And they were talking about the O.J. Simpson, and they did it. The way they did it was fantastic.
Right.
I was glued to my television.
Well, because they had to go back something I would like to see again. They had to go back to the late 50s, the mid to late 50s in Los Angeles, and lay out the entire blueprint of the hatred for many in the African-American community, for many in the Los Angeles Police Department.
Yep, they had to go back and show all of the history,
right,
and tell why it was that way.
Exactly.
Like why jurors, especially black jurors, had a tough time convicting O.J. Simpson.
By the way, speaking about ESPN 30 for 30, tomorrow night, I know you've already seen it, and it was part of the ESPN 3 or the ESPN Go or the Street or whatever. But pardon me, they're going to show The Last Days of Knight, the 30 for 30 profile of Bob Knight.
Oh, that's great.
On across the entire network tomorrow.
So good.
I'm going to watch it tomorrow night.
And I've always said this, even if you're not the biggest sports fan, you should watch every ESPN 30 for 30 that they've ever done.
If you're a fan of any form of filmmaking,
yeah,
they're required viewing.
Every one of them transcends sports.
Yes.
And it's the way they make them, and there's many more than 30 of them now, because it all started when ESPN turned 30, and that's why they did it. But now there's a lot more than 30 of them, and they're just so good. I mean, every one of them. Well, OJ's back in the news because we're coming up. It's the 25th anniversary of him getting away with double murder of his wife and Ron Goldman. And there's going to be a new series on the Discovery ID crime series. I don't know what channel that is, but it's called An American Murder Mystery.
Well, that's the channel. The what'd you call it?
Discovery ID.
Yeah, that's the channel.
Yeah. I got 3,000 channels. I probably have it. I don't know which one it is on my. I got to go find it, though.
I think there are 3,000 just Discovery channels. Mm. That's one of them.
And as part of this series, one of his former managers, who was his manager after the double murder, the guy's name is Norman Pardo. He's making a documentary about the infamous murders. And in it, he says that his client, a guy he's very close to, well, he was at one point, O.J. Simpson did not act alone. That's what he's saying. And he's...
Wait, hit the sounder again. That's pretty big.
That is big news. Well, there are people who are convinced of that. Now, you would think if there was someone else there that night, the cops would have known. There would have been another footprint in the blood, there would have been some sort of evidence, some sort of clue saying OJ was not the only guy here that night that did this.
Are you insinuating that the Los Angeles Police Department told us the whole story with no secrets?
So his
balderdash.
His former manager, Norman Pardo, who was doing this documentary, he's not telling us right now who the other person was because he wants us to watch the documentary. But he is saying that OJ did not act alone. Now, when OJ got paid money to write that book, I did it, or as they called it, if I did it. But when you look at the cover of the book, all you could see is I did it. The if is so small, and it's up in the top left-hand corner.
Right.
You would have thought OJ said, well, the guy sitting in the passenger seat said, let's get out over here.
I'm just fascinated by how you use that voice for who was probably the whitest African-American who ever lived, O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
But yet you have him talking like it is.
Yeah, that was something that was an interesting point during the O.J. trial when so many black people were cheering for him and a lot of people were thinking, dude, O.J. only hangs out with white friends, marries white women. He his black best friend, that's his driver. AC Cowlings. Right. I mean, OJ is whiter than I am. But this documentary should be interesting. It's going to be coming on pretty soon. And his former manager, again, this guy was a manager of OJ after the murders, and he stayed with him for several years after the murders. He is now making this documentary, and he is now saying that OJ didn't act alone. You think it's his oldest male son? Because that's who some people think.
I don't know about that, but I do know this. With us on the phone is a Mr. Robert Higgins.
That's great stuff.
That's all I can think of when I think of OJ.
Bringing back all these memories. And
those were good times.
Much like the John F. Kennedy assassination, if there was somebody else involved besides New Orleans native Lee Harvey Oswald, if there was someone else, you couldn't keep a secret that long. If there was someone else with OJ that night, you think that secret could have been kept this long?
Well, you're assuming that it's someone who's still living. The person could be someone who is since deceased.
Even more so, then it would be no big deal for someone that knew someone to say, oh yeah, so-and-so, he's dead now, it doesn't matter. He was there that night.
Well, haven't you seen documentaries that's the case?
But I never read
I predict it's going to be a bit of a letdown. Should I go out on a limb and say that? Should I put my neck out on the chopping block, as it were?
But I didn't read the whole book, If I Did It, by O.J. Simpson. But did he say there was someone else in the car with him that night? Did he say that he had to drop somebody off? Or did he say that there was someone, hey, he was just standing outside the gate that night? I mean, was there, who knows? I don't know. But I'm gonna watch this. I gotta find this channel
right
on my cable. The Discovery ID.
When's the show on?
It's coming up soon. I don't have the exact date here.
You better go home now and start looking for that channel.
But it's coinciding with the 25th anniversary of the murders. And I just wanted to ask you one more time. What do you think of and it's mostly women, some men, but mostly women, when they see OJ out, they run up and get selfies taken with him.
Right.
What does that say about those women? What does that say about them? You're walking up to a double murderer, or now they're legal experts. Well, he wasn't convicted of that.
Right.
What does that say if someone sees OJ at a store or at a restaurant and they walk up to him and they get a selfie taken with him? What does that say about that person? Because I don't think I would do that, although it's easy for me to say, but if O.J. walked in here right now or I walked out of work today and O.J. was standing on the street, I would hopefully like to think of myself, I would never walk up to O.J. and ask him for a selfie, but boy,
you know,
it's O.J.
I probably would if he's eating, you know, finger food or tacos, but certainly not steak or anything like that.
There you go. I'd stay tuned for that. Coming up on our show, a guy in Metairie just got his fifth DWI the other day. How in God's name could a human being in the year 2018 get a fifth DWI?
We're going to find out.
Unbelievable. On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. I know people get bummed out when they start hearing Christmas music and seeing Christmas commercials and seeing Christmas setups in stores, and we're still in the month of November. We're not even in December yet.
Speaking for me personally, once we get past Thanksgiving, I'd still not in the month of December, but I can tolerate it.
You're okay.
That's how
it?
I feel. It's. I mean, there were stores decorated before Halloween this year with Christmas items.
I'm pretty indifferent. You know, I like Christmas and I like Christmas music, whatever. Did you know, by the way, that the biggest selling single in the history of selling music in the United States, it's not a Beatles song.
No,
it's not.
Not Michael Jackson.
It's White Christmas.
Sure it is.
Some are calling that racist, saying that we're still a racist nation. Well, you have White Christmas, but you have Black Friday. Although Black Friday is pretty cool because people save a lot of money. But anyways, I brought this up.
That just proves you can't win, no matter what you call
anything. Of course not.
You can't win.
According to a new study, this year the cost of the gifts listed in the song, The 12 Days of Christmas.
Yes, they always do this. Very fascinating.
Cost $40,000. Shows you how much times have changed.
Hmm.
If you want to save money, you can replace the nine ladies dancing with nine skanky strippers. As a matter of fact, the nine ladies dancing alone cost almost $8,000. For that kind of money, they better be lap dancing.
And I think he has one more.
Well, and as a result of the cost of the gifts.
Didn't we have this discussion earlier?
Listed in the 12 Days of Christmas song being so high, people are trying to cut corners by replacing the two turtle doves with pigeons.
Yes.
What's that? Coming up next, a guy in Metairie just got busted for the fifth time for DWI. How in God's name could that happen? What we're going to explain coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock, the John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. You know, to show you how big music is, that song right there, Take It Easy from the Eagles, it's got that one line in there that says, I'm standing on the corner in Winslow, Arizona. Have you ever been to Winslow, Arizona? It's a very small town. I have been. There's not much in there, but what there is in there, what there is in Winslow, Arizona, on a street corner, there's a statue, and then it quotes that line
right
from that song. And I just recently, I had a Facebook friend traveling through there, and like several other Facebook friends of mine have traveled through there. They saw that. They got out of their car. They stood there, and they took a picture.
Right.
And they titled it Standing on the Corner in Winslow, Arizona.
There you go.
But it just goes to show you that town, I don't think anybody has ever heard of that town before.
How did they pick that particular corner? Because in the song, it's just standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona.
Great question, Brewster. I wish I could tell you I had the answer to that.
Hmm.
I don't know if that's the exact corner that Glenn Frey was standing on. I have no idea.
Right.
But it just shows you how big music can be. Most people would have never even heard of that town, and now that town is immortalized forever. Well.
No, you're right.
All right, I saw this story, and this is one of these stories that just has me banging my head against the wall. This guy in Metairie the other day just got arrested for DWI. It's his fifth DWI. His fifth. This is after he drove a van and a trailer into a ditch on Jefferson Highway. He's 37 years old. His name is Jacob Schwartz. He's from Metairie. Well, he lives in Metairie. And he's now facing his fifth DWI charge after Harahan police say he drove a van, which was hauling a trailer, into a ditch off of Jefferson Highway, and then he failed a field sobriety test. And then he admitted to the cops that he was drinking beers and he was taking narcotics. And he was dozing off during the investigation. So after he had already crashed the van that was towing a trailer into the ditch off of Jefferson Highway, the cops already had him. He failed his field sobriety test. During that, he was dozing off while the police had him. He was nodding off, nodding in and out of consciousness while he was failing his field sobriety test. How in God's name is this guy walking the streets with you, your children, me? How is this guy?
Well, I'd rather have him walking the streets than driving.
But Brewster, he should be in a cage. This is his fifth. And now I know there are some people, because we recently talked about the young woman from the North Shore. Mate was her name, Olivia Mate, who just got sentenced to 20 years in prison because she just got her third or fourth DWI when she killed someone on the causeway. She just got sent away for 20 years, and there are some people here saying the same thing that they were saying when Olivia Mate killed someone drinking and driving. Alcohol addiction and drug addiction is a disease. These people don't deserve jail. Excuse me. Shut up if you feel that way. Shut up. These people do deserve jail. Because obviously, this Jacob Schwartz dude from Metairie, his first four DWIs haven't registered with him. And don't tell me, well, that's because he's got a disease. No. When someone's disease starts killing other people, they need to take that person and his disease off the streets. Him and his disease should be sitting in a cage somewhere. I got to be honest with you. If I had a relative that was hurt or killed by this guy in this incident, the length of lawsuits against everyone who dropped the ball in this guy's case legally, the length of, and I'm not a lawsuit guy. We live in a much too litigious society. But there are other people who should be in jail because this guy was let go by them to go commit his fifth DWI offense. And if you look at alcoholism and drug addiction as a quote-unquote disease like cancer, you know, if people had cancer and they were walking down the street and other people were catching cancer and dying from it, then those people should be removed from the streets and put in a cage. But we know that that doesn't happen. We know you can't catch a disease like cancer from someone. This Jacob Schwartz guy last pleaded guilty to DWI 4 years ago. He was sentenced to 15 years in prison. Here's where the problems start. Whoever the judge that sentenced him was said, you get 15 years in prison, but 10 of those years will be suspended. So for getting his fourth DUI, Jacob Schwartz got 5 years in prison. Didn't even serve that full term. Didn't even serve, and he got out of prison. Whoever that judge is that suspended his sentence, he should be in prison. And if you're thinking, well, wait a minute, isn't that a little bit harsh? If Jacob Schwartz, in this fifth arrest, whenever it was a week or two ago, in Jefferson Parish, if he killed one of your children, if he ran over one of your loved ones, one of your friends, you would agree with me. You would say that judge who handed him a 15-year sentence after he got his fourth DWI, but then suspended 10 years of that sentence, that judge should be in prison. You're getting a fourth and a fifth DUI? I'm sorry, fourth or fifth DUI, you shouldn't see the light of day again. and stop with your disease. Stop. Because this guy could have sat home with his disease in his own house and drank himself to death every night without risking my life, without risking your life, without risking the lives of innocent children. He could have partaken in his disease of alcoholism and drug addiction. He could have gone and wallowed in his disease and gotten as messed up as he wanted, locked in his own home. But no, he decided to go out and not only drive a car, I don't know whose trailer he was towing. Maybe someone was paying him to help them. Could you imagine? Hey, Jacob Schwartz, you've got four DUIs in your life. Can you help me move this trailer? You know, the older I have gotten, the more empathy and the more sympathy I do have for people. Here's where I don't have any empathy or sympathy. Someone getting a fourth or fifth DWI because they have a quote-unquote disease. If you drove over one of my loved ones, you wouldn't have a disease anymore. I'd kill you myself. For the fifth time? And we're looking into this now. I want to find this judge, and I want to make an example out of this judge who gave him this long sentence but then suspended it 10 years. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. You see what's going on in China? Pollution is so bad there.
How bad is it?
It's reaching critically high levels. To give you an idea how bad it is, China's new slogan is...
I like it.
All right, coming up next, it's our commercial-free ride. And I'm going to tell you not only the dumbest thing that I read all week, because we do that on Fridays. We don't do that on Wednesdays. Mm-mm. This is the dumbest thing I've ever read in my life. We're going to talk about that, and we have an update on the story that we talked about yesterday with the woman photographer at the Texas wedding over the weekend who got arrested for doing sex with a guest and then urinating inside. Stay tuned for those reports on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. If you're in or around the city of New Orleans tonight and you're looking for something to do, I'm going to be a panelist on a real fun show. It's called Politics with a Punch. That show's been going on for years. They take a bunch of local media people and local politicos, and we talk about the issues of the day. It's a lot of fun. And it's going to be tonight. It's at Eiffel Society. That's on St. Charles Avenue. The show starts at 8, but doors open at 6. You can go have dinner, drinks, or you could just show up for the show and hang out at the bar or whatever the case may be. You can get your tickets at the door, and it's always, I promise, a good time and a fun night, and it's always fun when they let me be on the panel, and we'll be talking about all kinds of stuff, a lot of the stuff that we talk about on the radio show here. And this is probably going to be about the 7th or 8th time that I've done it. And if you're looking for something to do and you want to have fun tonight, come out and I'll be one of the panelists at Politics with a Punch. Again, it's at Eiffel Society, which is on St. Charles Avenue. The show starts at 8 o'clock. You can get your tickets right at the front door. Get there early if you're hungry, if you want. The doors open at 6, and they have good food there, drinks, and it's just... I wouldn't tell you to go if you wouldn't have a good time. Because if I said, hey, go tonight, and you didn't have a good time, you'd be like, that dude sucks, man. He told me to go. I bought a ticket. I went, and it wasn't any good. So, and if you do go tonight, make sure you come by and you say hi, because I'd love to meet you and see you. And thank you for listening to the radio show. When Pamela Anderson first immigrated to America, because she's a migrant immigrant, she was so good looking. I mean, before Tommy Lee and before all of that, she was so good looking.
Before Hep C.
Yeah, before that, too. Well, thank you very much for listening to the show.
Yes.
Well, not you.
No.
We appreciate it. Ginty is coming up next. Ginty! He's got your music notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.